This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home with the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrow, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks. Trying to decide how much trash I want to talk to Paul Kaharsky this morning. But let me just tell you that, big win for Nolansville over Ravenwood, which got a little ugly late. Got a little intense. It's a rivalry. It's the first of a three-game series, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So,
We're talking on the baseball front, by the way.
We're talking about the baseball front, yes. Yes. So last night, I texted Kaharsky as we're kicking their butt, and I said, Monday is for Knights, which I thought was kind of funny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get it? You know?
I got it.
Because we always say, yeah, thank you. Because we always say Friday's for Knights. And then, let's see what his, he says, aren't you a program that's a farm club for CPA? And then I was like, well, you should feel it worse. That's true. Then, you know, anything can happen in a single baseball game, right? So he was already like curling up in a ball and crying himself to sleep.
So what you're telling me is this could be pretty spicy tomorrow when Kuharski gets in here.
Yeah. Yeah, it could. We may have a knockdown dragout about Nolansville Ravenwood baseball.
I look forward to it. I think that'll be awesome.
Yes. I'll try to contain myself. There's a lot of stuff that went on last night that and Kaharsky and I are arguing over a lot of details right now, but I'm not going to get into them.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing about those, maybe either on or off the air. We'll look forward to that. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. It's about as boomer dad as it gets about there, huh? Fighting over it. Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, but, it is.
Yep. Doing good, thanks. Yeah, I didn't watch too much last night, I'll be honest. A little bit here and there. And it was nice outside. We were outside playing and doing that kind of stuff. But, yeah, a couple more days closer to the draft. So, should be fun. Thanks. Happy Tuesday, folks.
I think the Pittsburgh Penguins might be in some trouble. And apparently Porter Martone's going to win the Conn Smythe. So, that's always fun, Joe.
Yeah, he's pretty much the best player in the league. He leaves East Lansing, he takes his humanities final exam and just goes in and just starts destroying the whole league.
He scored last night, and I got a buddy of mine that's just a massive Preds fan, like keeps up with all the prospects, keeps up with all the draft picks. And as soon as Martone scored last night, he just sent me a text message. All it said was, you've got to be effing kidding me. And I was like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, Brady Martin's going to be good. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Vingan's already tweeting things too. So Vingan, who delights in the Preds' misery per the YouTube chat.
That's what I hear. Yeah. That's what I hear from the YouTube chat. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of stuff going on today. We have Joe Rexroad's last beat writer mock draft that we're going to get into in the 7 o'clock hour, which I highly look forward to. We got people throwing out dates for the Nashville Super Bowl, so we'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us at 8 o'clock, and we will go through the Predators locker room cleanout day yesterday and some interesting stuff that was said, and we will get into that more here in just a few minutes. But Alex Doherty will be with us at 8 o'clock. And as always, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Well, Joe, let's start there. The Predators cleaned out their locker rooms yesterday. They had their end-of-season meetings. And, everybody calls it locker room clean-out day. I mean, I don't know what they do in the locker room. I'm sure that they clean something out in there. But I think for the most part, they're not in the locker room. So I think they're out there, you know, meeting with coaches, meeting with front office people, and coming up with some sort of plan this offseason. But they also had to meet with the media yesterday, much to their delight. And I thought a few interesting things came out of yesterday, and we're going to get into some of them a little bit later in the hour with Jonathan Marchessault, who had some pretty open comments yesterday, which I thought he might heading into it. But I think the big thing on everybody's mind, kind of looking at yesterday's conversation, was what's kind of the message that you guys are being told about where this is all headed when there's a general manager that has not been hired yet that's going to come in and lead the organization, right? I mean, we don't know who that's going to be, and I don't guess we know for sure exactly what, you know, all of their ideas are going to be, but is there anything that you could glean from those conversations that you had with, you know, Barry Trotz and management that's currently in place? And this is what Steven Stamkos had to say yesterday as a part of his end-of-season media availability on that front.
Steven, how are you feeling about, I mean, obviously you mentioned it last week, there's a lot of uncertainty with the general manager and what's going to happen here, and things have not gone to plan to this point. How are you feeling about where things stand at the moment?
Yeah, again, obviously, you know, that process is ongoing with the new management, you know, team that's going to be assembled here. And I think we just, you know, we had some meetings today, and I think the message was, you know, the expectation is still to be a competitive team and to push for the playoffs. So I don't anticipate any huge changes, right? And we've kind of talked about, you know, is there going to be a rebuild, this, that. I think that's probably safe to say not going to be the case. I think we all want to be part of the solution. Like I said, we saw it for, you know, 60 games or 55 games of what the process can look like, and the integration of some of the younger guys and the veteran guys, you know, pulling their weight. And obviously, you know, the goaltending that we have here is something we can build off of. So there's going to be some changes for sure, but I think the overall message that was portrayed to us today was, let's have a great summer and let's get off to a really good start next year and push for the playoffs, because that's what, you know, that's what every team's goal is at the end of the year.
So that was Stamkos yesterday. Joe says, you know, we've had the conversation around here as to whether or not there's going to be a rebuild. And I think the phrase he used there was, I think it's safe to say that that's probably not going to happen, which on the one hand, Joe, I mean, I if you're a Predators fan, you hear that and you're like, well, how could you possibly really know that until the right general manager is hired and they come in? On the other hand, as a couple of us talked about yesterday, you know, after the press conferences, is like, as part of this general manager hiring process, are you looking at it and saying, hey, like, this is kind of how we're feeling about where the organization is, where things are going? And if the person, you know, that they end up hiring doesn't, I guess what I'm saying is, are they going to hire somebody who doesn't align with that, right? Like, if somebody in this candidate pool looks at him and says, yeah, I think this needs to be just absolutely torn down to the studs, which we've talked about, that's not going to happen. I mean, they have a really good prospect pool, depending on where you look, of how good it is. But I thought that was interesting from Stamkos yesterday, Joe, of, yeah, it's pretty much safe to say that it doesn't sound like the rebuild is going to happen.
Yeah, I think those are comments that some people will not like to hear. But I guess it's like, some of this could be semantics. I mean, like, if you're Bill Haslam, if you're, I guess, even Nick Saban, Nick Saban reportedly, you know, sitting in on these, heavily involved in anything. Well, of course, you like, whatever is on the ice next year, like, you want to win, right?
Sure.
I mean, So, like, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, of course, whatever this team looks like, the goal is going to be the playoffs. We know there's too much in place, unless there isn't, and that's where the new GM could come in, and all of a sudden some of these guys talking yesterday are not here, and then, you know, it's a more drastic approach. But like, there are a lot of locked-in veterans who probably put your floor at a certain point that some quote-unquote rebuilding teams would not have, right?
Yep.
So It's interesting to me, like, if people have a problem with what he said, I don't necessarily think you should. And if I'm Bill Haslam, anybody here who's going to be here beyond this, I'm not. I mean, why would you have conversations with these guys and say, look, like, we're blowing it up, and I mean, you don't even know if you can blow it up, right?
Right.
So, but I understand people hearing that. If you can't put yourself in his shoes, and you're a Preds fan who has been screaming for years about, you know, do more to take a step back so we can take a bigger step forward, then you might not like that.
Yeah, well, like, this is what, you know, I've been trying to say for weeks. Like, the rebuild, in the way that you think of a rebuild, is not happening. I don't care who they hire. Like, that's not happening. I mean, they've already, in some ways, kind of gone down that path, right? Now, it hasn't looked like the way that a traditional quote-unquote rebuild looks like. But when you've already got a top five prospect pool, like, your rebuild in some ways, whether you wanted it to or not, has already started. So I think from the Nashville Predators roster, like, that's what I'm – forget the whole organization and the prospect pool. What's the Nashville Predators roster going to look like next year? That, to me, is the biggest question, because right now you've got O'Reilly and Stamkos and Forsberg and Yossi and Saros and all these guys, Marchessault, all these guys are under contract. And I think, you know, some of those guys you probably could move on from. Some of those guys, it's totally up to them whether you move on from them or not. And some of those guys, I mean, good luck, you're not moving those contracts. I mean, quite frankly. So, you know, with that in the backdrop, you know, I think the people who just want to see all the veterans go, I mean, you're not living in reality. It can't happen right this offseason. So, in the meantime, what does that mean? Like, I guess I look at Stamkos' comments and I say this. All right, there's one thing between, you know, obviously everybody, when you field your team next year, everybody's going to want to win, right? Like, you're not showing up to training camp with Steven Stamkos on your team and saying, yeah, buddy, I just hope we try hard out there and it goes well this year. But, like, if they get through the offseason, Joe, and you look at their opening night roster, and it's what I said it was going to be, or what my plan was last week, which was, hey, Matthew Woods in your top six, and Brady Martin's made the team, and, you know, some of these other young guys that you need to find the answers about, they're on the team. And they don't go out this offseason, make like a huge trade and make a huge addition and maybe supplement a couple of guys in free agency. Well, there's your answer right there, right? Like, that's, I mean, it's not like you're putting all your chips into the table for next year. And I don't anticipate that is going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But we don't know who the GM is. That's true. The funny thing about all this stuff, too. And already on the YouTube chat, by the way, I'm out of the text line today, so.
Okay.
If people who want to text in and really, like, say nasty things about me, I won't even see them today. So today is a good day for that. But the YouTube chat, we already have, you know, people freaking out. Mushy Middle, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, the next boss, Predemption, hoping the next boss is not going to play ball with continuing the same old story. Again, it's like there is a reality here where like you just said, you can start to go younger, and that may, you know, make it unlikely, probably makes it unlikely to make the playoffs. But, you know, we don't know how a lot of guys are going to perform.
Yep.
But like, I don't, that is, and maybe a big move or two with one of these guys, but yeah, like the idea that you can just wipe the slate clean, like, it's not, that's not the real world.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. So that's where we start today. Steven Stamkos says, hey, you know, the goal next year is going to be, let's get in the playoffs. And that's the message that's been communicated. And it doesn't feel like a rebuild is coming. We'll take your thoughts on that. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds taking on Charlotte. First pitch at 10:05 a.m. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Steven Stamkos saying yesterday, hey, you know, goal for the Predators is going to be to make the playoffs next year, and doesn't get the sense that any sort of rebuild is coming. Taking your thoughts on that at 615-737-1025. You know, Roman Yossi talked yesterday, Forsberg talked, you know, all the usual suspects from veterans that you would expect. And, you know, the message was pretty much the same on that front when it comes to the expectation level heading into next year. Now, here's one argument that I've made, Joe, that I think from a new general manager coming in is fine if this is your approach. And this even applies to the coaching situation with Andrew Burnett. Like, I think there's an idea out there that, well, everything has to be new immediately, right? Like, you got to come in and just change everything immediately. And that doesn't really have to happen. Like, you got, I think, 1 year left on Andrew Burnett's contract. You have a general manager that's going to be coming in that, unless, like, you know, as I said last week, unless you've got a guy right now that you're one of these general manager candidates that you're like, I have to have this guy, like, right now. I don't see harm in coming in, evaluating your new situation and organization, and then seeing how next year starts off with Andrew Burnett, right, and the coaching staff. Because, I mean, that was probably the other common theme yesterday, which was just pointing out the facts that the last 3 years, you've just been absolutely screwed by your starts to season. And a couple years ago, you were able to overcome it because you went on this crazy 18-game point streak at the end of the year and you snuck your way into the playoffs. But the last 2 years, I mean, last year you had a bad start, a bad middle, and a bad finish. I mean, that's a tough combo. But this year, as Stamkos pointed out, I mean, Stamkos rattled off all these numbers basically since Thanksgiving that the Predators have done. They had a top 10 record. They had a top 10 power play. They had a top 5 penalty kill. They had all these things, which is great. I mean, he's right. It's a long sample size of playing good hockey. But the problem is you just absolutely destroy yourself early in the year when you get off to just wretched starts. And it'd be one thing if you got off to a so-so start in a season, Joe. But the last 3 years, they've gotten off to terrible starts. Just horrible. And it really doesn't matter when it happens. Like, if you get more than, like, a week into the season and you're in dead last in the NHL, that's a tough thing to claw your way all the way back from. And that, you know, for whatever reason, that's been a problem under Andrew Burnett. So if you're the new general manager, if that's a problem again next year, then I think the decision becomes pretty simple at that point, right? It's like, all right, well, this is the fourth year in a row that the team has started like absolute crap. That's a problem. I mean, that's a trend from your coach at this point. But I don't think there's anything wrong with evaluating. It doesn't all have to be done the third day he's in office when that next GM comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as we talk through this, and you've got a few names that have been reported as, you know, multiple interviews and things like that. Again, you don't know exactly if it's like, clearly, you know, I've got a guy in mind, or I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised if there was anyone hired who's like definitely sticking with Brunette, you know. Yeah. But certainly open mind to stick with him as possible. And it's another thing in his favor. As you said, Stamkos is rattling through all the different things that they did well, and we did see some encouraging signs in terms of some young guys this year, right? So I mean that is something that I think if you're Andrew Burnett arguing for yourself, that would be something that you would emphasize. Certainly Matthew Wood, and you see a lot of promise there. He's a middle-ish guy, but even like the way like Evangelista's bounce back season, I think is an encouraging thing, of course, right? I mean, there's a lot of individual storylines here, and then there's some guys who, as we're going to get to, you know, that just haven't worked out here. But that's when you start to get into what if you made this change, this subtraction here? What does that do? How much addition by subtraction is possible here?
Yep, and a couple other things on that, like there were some young guys that took meaningful steps. If the team next season is going to get to where Steven Stamkos wants them to be and to where, you know, Ryan O'Reilly wants them to be and some of these other guys that are veteran players, it's going to require, I mean, leaps from young guys, right? Like Matthew Wood's going to have to take it up another notch. Brady Martin, if he makes the team, is going to have to be a pretty impactful player, like right from the jump next year. So there's enough where you look at it and you say, like, how likely is making the playoffs next year. And the other thing I'll say is this, like the Predators deserve a lot of credit for, you know, hanging in there and making it interesting coming down the stretch. And they got to the last week of the season where they were alive for the playoffs, which is good considering where they were coming from. I would also say the Western Conference was down pretty bad this year, right? And it's not normally that bad. And if, let's say it was a normal season where you're looking at about, you know, what, 95 points to secure that last playoff spot, well, it probably wouldn't have been as interesting for the Predators coming down the stretch, right? So I think you also, if you're a new general manager, like you have to have that in mind as well as, yes, it's a good story of what they did and where they came back from and how hard they fought. It was also a pretty crappy year for the Western Conference, and that's really the only reason they ran it down the stretch.
Yeah, no, that's a very important point to make because that's typically what you expect. Like 95, usually you hit 95 and you're in, but usually you need to get to about there, and this was this year was not there. So that's important context. And of course, people are also freaking out about Porter Marton. So I get it. I mean, but George from Murfreesboro, Preds fans should be living, absolutely living about Porter Marton going out, lighting up the playoffs. And we got to be patient with old farmer boy.
Huh? Let's see how good Brady Barton is.
Yeah, there's a lot of old farmer boys who do okay in the NHL. By the way,
if Brady Marton in 2 years is, you know, put up 70 points in the NHL, I think you're gonna be all right. Like let's wait a little bit. Look, Porter Marton looks really good so far. There's no doubt about it. Again, my guess would be if they had drafted Porter Marton, some of the same people would be saying, well, how in the world didn't they take a center? You mean to tell me they didn't take a center? So, like,
and they wouldn't be watching him play right now.
Yeah. Also wouldn't be doing that. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Jonathan Marchessault with some interesting comments yesterday as well. We will get into those coming up next, including I asked him pretty directly, hey, do you want to be here? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We have another Joe Rex Road athletic mock draft to get into coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, which General Manager Joe is back on display.
So just to be clear, like it publishes tomorrow, so... But I have a takeaway from my participation.
That's what we're getting into. You're the GM of this squad. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
I have strong conviction after going through it that like there's a right way and there's a wrong way.
Okay, we'll get into that in the 7 o'clock hour for the Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts on the Preds at 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So. End of season press conferences yesterday. We just played a clip of Steven Stamkos talking about, you know, what his expectation is this summer. And not a good year for Jonathan Marchessault. And it has not really worked out for Jonathan Marchessault, as we've discussed here in Nashville to this point. He had 31 points in 62 games this year, 12 goals, 19 assists. He battled through some injuries this year. Just didn't go well for Jonathan Marchessault. And I asked him about that yesterday. And then... we'll just play this entire exchange. There's a couple of questions from me and kind of a conversation back and forth with him here where toward the end of it, I just asked him straight up if he wants to be here. And I thought his answer was pretty interesting. Here's what Jonathan Marchessault had to say yesterday.
How frustrating was this year with not only just the results that you talked about with your game, but just the injuries that you had to battle through? Was this the most frustrating year that you've had personally?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was not in good headspace. I was in the person that I'm usually am, and it's ended up going against me, and it's part of like whatever how you feel the body and everything. If you're not in a good mindset, I think not a lot of success happens to people that don't have a good mindset. And I'm normally a really, really positive person and look at what you can control and all that kind of stuff. And this year I wasn't. So it reflects the year that I had, and we're definitely going to try to change that.
Do you want to be here as part of the solution moving forward? Have you had conversations about moving elsewhere? Like, I mean, kind of where has that stood over the last few months?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable group of guys here. That's one thing I'll tell you. I want to be around those guys, and I want to be in a. I want to be playing playoff games, but I'm aware that if I play the way I played like this year, I'm not going to bring anything to the playoffs. So I think you got to look at yourself in the mirror. There's guys that made a difference this year, and there's guys that didn't make a difference, and I didn't make a difference this year. So, yeah, I want to take ownership towards that and look at myself in the mirror and help the Preds get to a playoff team.
So that was Marchessault yesterday, Joe. What do you make of that when you hear kind of that back and forth?
Well, you know, good line of questioning from you. There's a few things there. First of all, just the pauses and everything. It's like it just felt like he was just trying to dance around what he wanted to say, which is no. Yeah. But also, like, this whole, like, I wasn't myself. And it's like, dude, if you're like that person for like a year or 2 years, isn't that actually who you are? How could you claim like being out of character for like that long? And then, you know, like, what, that just makes no sense to me. I don't know. Like, is this just as simple as he says, you unbelievable group of guys? Is it just like a conflict with Andrew Brunette?
I don't know. Like, you could kind of hear it there in the answer with the pause. Like, when I asked him if he wanted to be here, there was, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's like one of those things you had to be there in the media scrum for. He didn't really say yes, right? Like, you know, at the end of the answer, he got around to, like, you know, helping the Preds get in the playoffs. And, you know, one thing that he said that I do believe, I think, you know, earlier in the press conference, he talked about how, like, this is a great place to live. And he was talking about, that's the point he kept coming back to. He's like, it's a great place to live. But it very, very rarely did it come around to, like, this is a place I still believe I can win, right? Like that didn't happen a whole lot. And he talked in that answer that we just heard about the group of guys. Like, I think he genuinely loves his teammates. Like, I think he loves, you know, the guys that are in the locker room. You know, Stamkos said yesterday, and when Stamkos says this stuff, like, I actually pay attention to it because he doesn't throw out, like, the coach speak cliche crap that a lot of people do. You know, Stamkos said yesterday, you know, this group of guys was one of his favorite groups that he's ever played hockey with. And he said after that, he said, I'm not just saying that either. Like, this is one of my favorite groups that I've ever played hockey with, which makes the failure of not making the playoffs even more painful when you think about it that way. Marchessault, I think there are clearly, when you combine last year's answer with all the coaching stuff, and then this year when I asked him, hey, like, do you want to be here? And he started going into how much he loves his teammates. And then he immediately started getting into his own game. He's like, you know, I realize if I play the way that I played this year, that no matter where I am, that's what he said. Like, no matter what team, I'm not taking any team to the playoffs. But I just get the sense from him that there have been conversations over the last few months about, like, hey, man, I think on both sides of, if we can find something here, let's find something and move on. So I think that that's something that when the new general manager comes in, I walked away from that conversation, Joe, yesterday thinking to myself, that's probably the last time that I will be speaking to Jonathan Marchessault in a Predators uniform. That was my takeaway.
Yeah. But the interesting thing will be what they can do to move him. Because the thing that he's essentially selling, like, an entire year of being in some kind of a funk and, you know, that's not who he is and everything. A big part of the reality here is he's diminished as a player. He's not the same player he was when they got him. He's a diminishing asset as a player. Do you think he's going to go somewhere else and set the world on fire and play like he did in Vegas? I don't.
I don't know that he'll set the world on fire. He will be better than he's been here. I think it's all about, like, the Predators, and maybe Matthew Wood turns into that guy, but they haven't had a good center for him. Like, he's not fit in well. And I think it's a combination of that. It's a combination of, you know, he is 35 years old, so you have to keep that in mind.
Right.
He is diminishing as a player. He's not the same guy he used to be. And I don't think that they've put him in a great position. Like, I think all those things are true. And, you know, Trotz was talking about him yesterday and saying, you know, what's made him great his entire career is he's had a chip on his shoulder, and we got to find a way to get a chip back on his shoulder. We'll see what that ends up looking like. But I just think clearly the fit here has not gone well for him. Now, you know, at this point, to your point, he's 35 years old. So, you know, is he going to go somewhere else and score 40 again? I'd say probably not. Could he go somewhere else and put up 50-something points and score 25 goals again? Yeah, I think he could.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I can see that. And so, yeah, it's just this is a must move probably on both ends of it. I'm sure that'll be communicated to the new GM.
I think what Trotz said about the chip on the shoulder is a big one on this one. For me, the whole Vegas situation with the expansion draft, a lot of those guys at the start played with that whole reject mentality.
Sure.
That their other teams didn't want them and Vegas got them. And I think Marchessault in particular really played that role in Vegas as, like, you know, the forgotten players and the castaways and all that kind of stuff. You could see it when he played, and he kind of really embraced that. And I don't know if moving situations and the whole contract thing, you know, changes your mentality and changes that, quote, chip on your shoulder. But I think I wrote that down as, like, something, you know, that I could see mentality-wise. His just style of play just didn't translate the same.
Oh, I think it's a good point. Like, clearly something has changed, and I think it's a combination of a couple things, but I think that's part of it, right? Yeah, you know, it's, you know, first off, let's point it out. He ain't playing with Jack Eichel here, okay? So that's a big part of it, right? Like, when you score 42 goals your last year in Vegas and you're playing a lot with Jack Eichel, yeah, that'll help. They ain't got Jack Eichel here. So let's make that clear. But I do think, you know, from his perspective, it was interesting to hear him talk about all that yesterday because, you know, in the locker room, it still feels like he's pretty beloved in there. Like, he's a different guy. We talked about that at the end of last year, Joe, right? Like, he's a different sort of guy that kind of marches to the beat of his own drum. But, like, he's pretty funny. And I think a lot of guys in there really like him. But I also think when he's not playing well and you see some of the energy that's in there where maybe it's not all positive, maybe that rubs on guys if that happens long enough, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like we've seen that, you know, almost like Stamkos clap back at him on some things before too, right? It was kind of clear. I will say another thing that went through my head, which Lapi87 says on the YouTube chat, Barry's retirement home is the best.
I
do think Marchessault probably, you know, thinks he has good hockey ahead of him. He could do better elsewhere, as you said, in a better situation. But it's hard not to think about some of that stuff with a guy like him.
It is. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Jonathan Marchessault's comments, more takeaways from the end-of-season press conferences for the Predators. We will get into the NFL draft to begin the 7 o'clock hour. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean at 8, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Get your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matthew from Jolton throwing it out there. If you change coaches, does Jonathan Marchessault stay? Realistically, I want DeBoer or Bruce Cassidy, but DeBoer is no longer available. So DeBoer has been gobbled up. Bruce Cassidy is out there. We'll see what that looks like. Look, you know, does Marchessault stay if the coach changes? I don't know. You'd have to tell me who the coach is there and how they kind of view him. Look, and also the other part of this is, I also recognize that it's not necessarily going to be easy to trade Jonathan Marchessault and his contract. Like, it's not an insane contract. Like, he's got three more years left on it at $5.5 million or whatever the number is. So it's not that bad. Like, it's not just a total albatross or anything. But I mean, the production hasn't been great, and he is 35 years old. And you know, are you going to find a team that's willing to take on all of that? That's an interesting question that I can't guarantee that the answer to that question is yes. So there is a chance that, you know, he's under contract, he's here, and he's starting off the year here next year. I just, from an urgency standpoint, if you're the Predators, I think it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and try to get out of that thing this offseason if you can. And, you know, I understand, you know, everybody wants to avoid buyouts, and I'm with you there too. But you know, I don't know. I don't know how Bill Haslam feels about that. I don't know how the new general manager is going to feel about that. I think everything could be on the table.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's an interesting question in terms of the coaching. I guess another question is like, look, there's just been limitations with this lineup for him and all this stuff. And a lot of it is just the bulk of it is just on him. But if there is a new coach, does that, like, how much does that matter to him?
Well, like, I think, yeah, you know, if they hire Bruce Cassidy, I think it'd matter a lot, right? Like, he had somebody he played for and loves in Vegas and won a Stanley Cup with. Like, if, you know, if the new GM comes in and they fire Brunette and bring in Bruce Cassidy, I think that that'd probably go a long way. If it doesn't go that way, and the likelihood is it probably won't, then I don't know. I don't know what that means. Like, you know, I think clearly at the end of last season, there were issues between Brunette and Marchessault just in terms of the way that he felt like they were attacking things. Now, one thing Brunette's talked about all offseason and all season long was the, you know, I think the word he uses is a buzzword around here, Joe, collaboration that he had with the veteran guys on the team and the system that they were running and some ideas that they all bounced off each other. And I have no doubt that Marchessault was probably a part of that. So, you know, does he feel this, like, has that, have those differences been bridged at this point? I don't know. Like, how much of this year was, does Marchessault feel like is on the situation, on the coaching staff? How much of this year is just simply on him? I don't know what the percentage balance is between those two things.
I guess to his credit, he put it on himself. You know, yep. He talked about himself and not being my, which again, I'm still looking at it. It's like, it's just, something's not right with that. But at least he didn't throw anybody else under the bus with this last thing. So there's that.
That is true. It's true. Remember last year, it's like, you know, I love Bruce. Bruce Cassidy is he's our great coach. Best coach I've ever played for in Vegas. It's like, oh, good. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
I miss Bruce.
Joel says, so much is still unknown for this franchise until we get the new GM. Sounds like Marchessault had the double whammy of injuries plus mental/emotional issues. If he does stay, it'd be nice to see him bounce back like Stamkos has. You know, it is interesting. I mean, think back to the first 10, 15 games this year. I mean, it looked like the Stamkos thing was going to be a disaster, right? Like, it looked like it was going to be, you know, similar to how, like, it's like, hey, did you guys know that Randy Moss played for the Titans at one point? Because he did. It was like, hey, did you guys, like, it was looking like it was going to be a trivia question at some point later, like, in life of, hey, did you guys know that Steven Stamkos played for the Nashville Predators? Because it was going so poorly, and he had one goal in the first 14 games or whatever it was, and then he went on an absolute tear to close things out. To the point where, like, he clearly, you know, he figured some things out. He talked about it a little bit yesterday of how he had to change the game and get to the front of the net a little bit more. And then he got some confidence going, and confidence kind of snowballed from there. To the point, Joe, where even at 36, 37 years old, like, and I've heard Willie say this, and I agree, like, Stamkos is going to be able to shoot the puck like he shoots the puck until he's like 60. Like, Ovechkin could play in the league as long as he wanted to just because he could shoot the puck. Just crazy, like, that shot's not going away. Now, all the other stuff, you know, it starts to deteriorate, and, you know, at some point that's too much to overcome. Well, like, Stamkos and his ability to shoot the puck, that's why, like, when it was all going poorly for him, my point kept being like, well, he can still shoot. Like, it's not like he forgot how to score. So I'm encouraged by Stamkos in the year that he had, and I feel like from the jump next year, he should be productive. But Marchessault, I don't know. Like that I think there's still so much up in the air for him of, you know, first off, Marchessault's not Stamkos. And we talked about that the moment they all signed. Like, you know, Stamkos scoring 40 goals is normal. He's done it 8 times in his career. Marchessault scoring 40 goals like he did the year before he signed here, that ain't normal. That's happened once for him. So, like, I think you also have to keep that in the background as well. And we talked about that. He scored 42 goals in Vegas before he signed here, playing with Jack Eichel. His previous high before that was 30 in 16-17, all the way back with the Florida Panthers. So he's typically been like a, you know, 25, 28, 27-goal guy, somewhere right around there.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have what Stamkos has, so his game diminishes faster overall. And yeah, like 35 is it's not ancient. But if you're another team, you know, when you talk about the Preds possibly moving him and stuff like that, I mean, I hate the idea of the buyout situation, but
I do too.
You know, but because they've just done too much of that. But if you're another team, I guess you really have to look at, first of all, like what Ian was talking about earlier. I mean, maybe he played a little bit above his level, intangibly, you know, benefiting him. Like you said, you have Jack Eichel as your center. And at this point, is this, you know, if it's a combination of, one, diminishing, which there's no question that that's some of it, but then also, like, not handling it well, right? I mean, I think that's a fair criticism of him.
Yep.
That he could have handled this better. And especially, again, when I get to the end of this season and he talks about him being in a bad headspace for another entire year, I don't know. I think other teams, that could certainly be red flags for other teams who might be potentially interested in him.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Alex Doherty will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds, what they had to say yesterday at their end-of-season media interviews. We will get into the NFL draft coming up next. Rex Road has conviction, and I'm excited to hear it. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.